here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and joining us today is our Green County School District nursing staff with us. We've got Ann Hicks, we've got Lita Bauer, and we've got Jill Wanninger now joining us. So thank you very much, ladies, for being on. And if somebody would like to tackle this first question, I know with the school year kind of starting up here for our Rams and everything, is there any COVID-19 standards or guidelines you'd like to get out there, first of all, that all of you will be operating under in your own buildings?
This is Jill. We do have a COVID-19 pandemic illness guideline, and one of the things in the guideline is that we are asking parents and staff to do a self-screening. So we're asking you to check temperatures in the morning, and then just an overall, how am I feeling? Do I have any of the high risk or low risk symptoms of COVID? And if you do, we're asking you to stay home and call the school.
And then if you do happen to have one of those symptoms, Jill, is there any guidelines people need to follow, such as a 10-day self-quarantine period? How would you like to have them tackle that?
If you do have any, which would be one high-risk symptom or two low-risk symptoms, we're asking that you consult with your primary care physician. And if the primary care physician gives you an alternative diagnosis, such as strep throat or something like that, you may return just like you would have last year, 24 hours after you are fever-free and after you've been on an antibiotic for strep infection. And we're asking you that if you do not follow up with your primary care physician, to stay home for 10 days after the onset of your symptoms.
So you mentioned something about high-risk symptom versus low-risk symptom. Can you give us kind of the list of those so that way parents are aware of how to differentiate?
Sure. The high-risk symptoms are a new cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, new loss of taste or smell. And then one of the low-risk symptoms is fever, but we ask that you stay home or your child stays home if their temperature is above 100. Headache. The other low-risk symptoms are headache, muscle body aches, fatigue, sore throat, runny nose, congestion, sinus pain, nausea and vomiting, and diarrhea.
Okay. Now, Ann, we'd like for you to kind of describe for us what's going to be going on in your building. And I understand that the new thing for every one of our buildings is going to be this COVID-19 isolation room. Can you speak to us about how that kind of operates first?
Sure. We're going to, we're going to use our lactation room out here at the high school. We have one staff member who would be using that room, but she's graciously stepped aside and going to use her office. So we're going to put student in that room if they have one high risk symptom and two low. We're going to call parents and have them come get that student, and then we highly recommend that they take them to the doctor, get it checked out, and like Jill mentioned, if it's a different illness than what COVID would be, that they get a note from the doctor stating that, so that the next time they come in, if that would be the next day, then we would know that they're dealing with allergies, whatever that may be. And I'm asking my teachers here that if they have a student in the classroom that they suspect could have the symptoms of COVID, that I will come to the classroom and escort that student to the office myself. So they won't be in the hallway alone. And just to make sure that they have a mask covering as they're walking till we know what their diagnosis is.
And then, Lita, can you tell us a little bit about your building over at the elementary school? Now, I understand that you have your isolation room over there. Will you be dealing with kids that have typical things that happen to them and they fall down, they scrape their knee? Will you be administering Band-Aids? Is that going to be changing a little bit in your world? Can you explain that to us?
This is Lita. Yes, that'll be changing a little bit. We have made first aid kits for all the teachers to have in their rooms. And so it'll have Band-Aids, triple antibiotic ointment. It'll have an ice pack. It'll have a mask if they do need to come to the nurse's office and they don't have a mask of their own. But we're asking that teachers do try to handle as much of those minor, you know, scrapes and cuts in the room as best as possible. We do have a room aside from the isolation room where if children do need to come in, you know, if they are bleeding or if they did do something that does need to be seen by the nurse and they're not having symptoms of illness, we can see them in there as well.
All right. And Jill, I know that, you know, this has been said by Becky Wolf, the Greene County Public Health Director, before on our radio station that, you know, you should try not to give Tylenol or ibuprofen to kids before they head them off to school because they might reduce the fever, we'll say, and that where it's acceptable level, but then that will potentially wear off, you would think, throughout the school day, and that would escalate right back up. Is there a different change of how that's being administered here by the nursing staff?
Yes, due to the COVID-19 and possibly masking the symptom of a fever, at school we will not be giving ibuprofen or Tylenol when the students come in unless we have a special doctor's order for that.
Oh, sorry. I was looking down at my paper. Can one of you please explain to us if there happens to be a COVID-19 case that's found in any of your buildings? We might have to tackle this building by building, so I guess we can start with Ann first. Tell us how that's going to happen here at the high school.
Stop for a minute. Okay, no, just give me.
So I understand that all the buildings are going to be following the same guidelines when it comes to if you have a positive COVID-19 case that's found in any of the buildings. And can you kind of explain that procedure of how you handle a positive case in COVID-19? And please reiterate the different levels of mask recommendations that were approved by the board.
Okay, so we will contact public health, Becky Wolf and her two other nurses that work out there. We will follow their guidelines as far as the contact tracing goes. And then we will also follow what was presented at the board meeting on the green, yellow, and red levels for wearing the masks. And they, if we did have a positive case, we would at that point require the students to wear a mask in class and at school.
Okay. And I'm guessing, Lita, you could, you know, tell us that, do you fully recommend or highly recommend that all the students and staff wear masks at school during the school day?
We are recommending that the students do wear masks at school during the school day. It is not a requirement when we're on the green and the yellow.
The yellow, we wear a mask if there is one.
Correct.
If you can't socially distance.
Right. Can we cut that because I don't want to refer to that chart.
So, Jill, I do understand that there's different guidelines for students and staff to follow if they happen to be tested versus being exposed to COVID-19 or being tested positive for the virus. Can you kind of differentiate or reiterate that information for us?
Sure. If a student is in close contact or has a close contact with someone that is positive with COVID-19, they are asked to quarantine for 14 days. The 14 days would not start until their last contact. So if it's a household contact and mom or dad or the sibling is ill with COVID-19 for 10 days, it might be an additional 14 days after that time if they're in close contact with the mom, dad, or sibling.
Okay. And then, Lita, if you wouldn't mind just telling us again your mask recommendation for students when it's, day one starting right out of the chute here.
Yes. Based on the recommendations from IDPH and the CDC, we are highly encouraging everyone to wear masks to school.
Okay. And then if we want to kind of wrap up the program, any final comments any of you would like to make? And we'll start with Ann here first to kind of give us anything we maybe not have touched on yet or anything that you would like to reiterate that we've already maybe hit on.
Well, just that if, and we've touched on this, of course, but just that if they're feeling ill, and I know parents kind of rely on high school kids going by how they feel, that if they don't feel well, they really need to stay home. you know, if they come to school, I sure can check temperatures to make sure everybody's fine. But just the big thing is that you're not, if you're not feeling well, please stay home.
Leva, for you.
And I would say just for people to remember that there's still so much that is to be learned about COVID-19 and that our recommendations are as of right now, and they could change based on new information or things that are found out. So these are our recommendations for now, and just kind of keep an open mind that, you know, things might change as information comes about.
And how cool is it that you get to start your career as a school nurse in the elementary school during COVID-19 times? I mean, that's pretty remarkable and unique, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. It's definitely going to make every year after this feel a whole lot easier.
The true test, right?
Yes.
And Jill, how about for you? Any final comments you'd like to make?
Just so parents know that Anne, Lita, and I are here for you. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to give us a call. We want to make this a very safe school year for everyone.
Okay.